Tell me about the car accident.
Well, here I was living my life, and I was coming home on a Friday from work, and we have an expressway here called Highway 65, and you know, it has traffic signals on it every so often. And I was going 60 miles an hour in the fast lane, and no one was in my Jeep. And all of a sudden, I get this out of nowhere. I get this really strong male voice, and it seemed to be in my passenger seat next to me. It was not in my mind, and it said simply this: slow to 35. Very firm. And I've never heard anything like that in my life.
Slow to 35.
Yeah. So what would you do?
Slow to 35.
Yeah. I'm going 60. So, you know, I'm telling the audience that you have, you know, what would you do? You know, get this.
I think there was a cop on the side of the road with a huge megaphone.
So, slow to 35.
So I felt it was significant because I didn't think it was in my mind, and I slowed to 35 immediately. There was a traffic signal a few, probably about 30 seconds ahead of me. All of a sudden, a car passed me on the right, and three young men were in it, and they got to the traffic signal. I could see them, and it was green, but they didn't go through. They stopped dead, and then they made a perpendicular move across my lane and stopped in my lane.
Oh.
And I had no place to go. And as I'm approaching them, I can see their faces. I can see.
Even at you're doing 35 then at this point.
Yes,
right?
I'm doing 35 okay. Now. But still, time slows down in that kind of
it does. Place. And had you been doing 60, you would have been getting there even twice as fast.
Yeah. And so it was a strange time. And I had enough time, actually, to think about my life and their lives. I didn't want to kill them, and I didn't want to kill myself.
But you knew you were going to hit them, right?
There's no way I could stop. And they gave me no room either way. So I hit them right at the top of the driver door, the driver's door, and both of us were pushed kind of through the intersection. My Jeep went on top of their hood. I couldn't believe at 35 such a force. They were zero.
Yeah.
So I was shaken up, and I had some injuries, but I didn't really know it to the extent at that time. But I was concerned about them and myself. I got out of the car after a couple minutes, and CHP, Highway Patrol, came in 10 minutes or so. And they asked, you know, my story, and fortunately for me, some people stopped and verified my story, and I was not at fault. But, I told the officer what happened, and I had gone from 60 to 35, and he said, "Mister, in my experience and what I've seen, if you were going 60, you'd be dead right now." And I said, wow, that shook me up, you know. I just had a chance to live again. So that was so meaningful. So I came away from that feeling good and feeling I had a lease on life. And I also felt, what am I going to do with this voice that came in? What am I supposed to think? Who was that? And, you know, I put that question out to your audience. How would you deal with that?
Well, I think you found out who that was, didn't you?
Would you ignore it?
You can't. You can't ignore it.
Yeah, I couldn't. So that led what I would call, in fact, I almost don't call this a near-death experience because I didn't die and I didn't go up into the chute. I kind of call this a magical moment.
Yeah, I would too.
And then that path that was being almost immediately set for me of more things to come, and I would call that more or less a path of adventure because it really is all good, it has been all good. And people seem to be coming to me out of nowhere, giving me a message. One of them said, Tom, I feel like you're going through some changes, and you better document everything. Every day that something happens to you, and it will. And I didn't know this person. And I just took that to heart, and I said, I started doing that. And things would happen, little things. I went to get some treatment for my injuries, and I was very hesitant to go in the room.
I bet the next day you were sore.
Yeah, I had injuries to my ribs. I had injuries to my legs. I was actually thrown up inside the car, even though I had a seatbelt.
Yeah, you bounce. You don't even know you hit things.
No, I actually hit my chest on a steering column, and I don't remember that.
I was in an accident when I was 18. I was going to college, and I went up a hill, Tom, and I came down again, and everybody was stopped. And I hit this patch of water, high hydroed all the way into them, and I just destroyed my dad's old Mercury that he had given me. And it was a big car, thank God, but I didn't have a seatbelt on. I don't even know if they had seatbelts in those days. I'm pretty sure they didn't.
Probably didn't.
And I bounced off the steering wheel, and I said, my gosh, I'm alive. But, man, I got to tell you, the next day, I was stiff as a board, and for weeks, I couldn't eat. My nervous system fell apart. It was horrible. Horrible. So go ahead.
So, you know, I had to deal with this, and I felt like just because of the way I am, I'm kind of intense and I have to know things. So I'd researched, you know, a little bit about this, and the people would come to me and give me information, more and more information would come in.
And speak up a little bit, Tom.
I'm sorry. Okay. And information would come up, and I would take it in from people I didn't know and so forth. And that happened for about a period of 3 years, just growing and researching, trying to figure out who this was that gave me that voice. And so then the biggest incident after that was having a vision of an angel. And, you know, I couldn't describe exactly who that voice was in the accident. People might say, it, you know, it's an angel. But then I saw one. And how that happened was in about 2005, my wife and I are sleeping in our bed. Imagine. You're sleeping in your bed. You're just doing fine. It's 1:30 in the morning. You're sleeping. All of a sudden, your bed is shaking side to side violently on my wife's side. Like someone had their hands on it, pushing it back and forth. And then the lights in our room, we had several. They turned on and off several times, including one that wasn't even plugged in. Of course, we were startled. And we got up and looked around, and we couldn't find anybody. We thought, well, maybe there's an intruder. What's going on? Well, nothing.
You think demons were in the house or something?
I didn't know what. We couldn't find anything, but it was so strange. But, you know, you kind of deal with it, and you go back to bed and sleep. And this happened several times for about 2 weeks, the same thing, but nothing else would happen. We almost got used to it. And then, after the 2 weeks, then one morning about 2 in the morning, same thing happened. And, you know, in that half asleep, half awake state you get in.
Right.
When you're woken up, like at that time, we didn't see anybody, so we calmly went back to sleep. I closed my eyes, and all of a sudden, it was like a TV went on inside my mind. A big flash of light, and a little box formed. And inside the box was this incredibly beautiful angel. And it was all in color, and it was like so detailed, it would be like HD TV now. And I could see in profile, standing up, this huge angel, and it had wings that were way over his head and all the way down, virtually, I'd say, like 6 inches before he would hit the ground. And it was, I could see the detail in each filament of each feather. It was incredible detail. And he stood there silently, and then he moved his head and turned to look at me. That was weird.
Was he a guardian angel?
Well, you know, I didn't know who it was, and as I said, I wasn't getting any other messages of who these might be, but with the accident, you know, things came in my mind. Well, maybe these things are angels. Obviously, with wings and the way it looked like an angel you would see in a book. And then that picture changed to another one, which was him on a horse. Well, he had full armor on and a shield and a sword on a horse. And that was weird. And then it shut off. It was probably a period of 30 seconds.